This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman.
On News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, Bloomington. Friday, March 11th, 2016. Jim Inman live in the studio. And I don't know, this is not going to roll off the tongue just yet, Mr. Pillar, because...
Hi, Jim.
How you doing, stranger?
Yes, I haven't seen you for about a month.
I know.
All basketball season, end of the season, and all the tournament play. And I was, Friday nights, I was at the sectionals and various other places, but it's good to see you and glad to be back for a little cameo here in the studio.
And glad to have you after a very tough loss today against IU in Michigan.
Oh,
that was a rough...
Sun's shining. It's just not quite as bright.
Yeah, that last second shot, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But, I can't say Mr. Pillar anymore.
You can always say that, Jim.
No, because... Dr. Pillar is now in the studio.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Got
appreciate
the
that.
Dissertation and all that stuff done. Is that
yeah,
what it was?
Everything's finished. The big thing in Ball State's eyes was I paid tuition. So
right.
Once you pay the tuition, I think they're a little bit more forgiving on your assignments. But yes, everything is wrapped up. So
that is awesome. Congratulations.
I appreciate
Seriously.
That very much.
That is a fantastic achievement, brother.
Yeah, thank you.
We've got a packed show tonight. Number one is simply because of all the sports action that's taken place. We're kind of good and bad in the advantage department because when it's only 1 week, you kind of get to do a recap. But this week, there is so much to recap touch on.
Just a ton, yeah.
So we'll do our best to get all of that covered. But also, Public Information Sergeant Kurt Durnell is going to be on the program in just a little bit. Kurt's schedule didn't allow him to be here on Friday, so I met with him earlier this week and recorded it. So you'll miss Dr. Pillar in the middle of the show. But Kurt's got some great information talking about the child predator internet thing that a lot of people hear about. So he'll give an update on that Indiana State Police program. He'll also talk about protecting your home during spring break because a lot of people are excited to put up on Facebook and Twitter that, hey, I'm going to be gone for 10 days and your friend likes it and your other friend sees it.
Next thing you know, it gets shared around and everyone knows you're gone.
Right.
But then it's probably not good to say I'm sitting at home all day with my gun if you try to come to my door. So there's probably a happy medium out there, which is just don't say anything at all.
Yep.
Or post things about dogs and elephants like you and I do.
Right.
So,
and then also to talk about big, we do not have boys basketball tonight, but we actually have it tomorrow morning.
So if you're with us on Friday night, we've got nothing tonight because the Friday night slate for boys basketball IHSA is over for this season. But Saturday, if you're with us on Saturday morning, a big game this morning with and tomorrow morning, again, depending on when you're listening, Bloomington South and New Albany at Seymour, the Seymour Regional, the Barney Scott Gym, one of the truly great places to see a game. I've had the good fortune of working there numerous times, and when that place is full, and it will be full tomorrow, what a great opportunity for some folks to see a great game. So 9:30 a.m. Saturday morning, again, David Hayes is only on with you half. You'll get half of his show, Your Money, tomorrow morning, Saturday morning. But then at 9:30, we will have Chalk Talk with J.R. Holmes and then a 10 o'clock tip with the Bloomington High School South Panthers against the number one, 4A number one, New Albany Bulldogs, led by a fantastic player. A great article by Andy Graham this morning. Romeo from New Albany is quite the sophomore sensation down there for Jim Shannon's Bulldogs. So game two of that section or that regional will not be on because, of course, it doesn't matter for locals, but Franklin Central will take on Evansville Wrights. Wrights was the runner-up last year. Franklin Central knocked South out, if I'm not mistaken, last year. And then if South gets past New Albany, which we're certainly hoping they do, tomorrow night, 8 o'clock tip, 7:30 Chalk Talk. Another great day of basketball here on WGCL Radio, and good luck, of course, to our Panthers and lots of other local teams that we'll hit up in sports in a little bit.
And please know, Chuck Crabb was out today. He was with the track and field group down in Alabama.
Right.
But we're going to talk a little bit more on in sports about the NCAA coverage that we're going to have here on WGCL.
Absolutely outstanding.
Yes. So we've got plenty to talk about over the next hour. Again, facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview, WGCLRadio.com. We're streaming over there 24/7. We're going to come back, give you a quick forecast, touch on some local news. Then we'll get to Kurt Durnell from the Indiana State Police. And then lots of sports.
Lots of sports.
Lots of sports. So stay with us. We'll be back here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman and Dr. David caterpillar. It does start to roll off the tongue after a couple times.
Okay, Jim.
It's kind of nice. Here on in the show, and in just a couple minutes again, Kurt Durnell from the Indiana State Police will be on the program. But the forecast for the weekend is not too shabby, Mr. Pillar.
No, Jim, I'll tell you what. I'm not going to complain about it, but Friday night, if you're with us, 40% chance of rain after 1 a.m., increasing clouds with a low around 48. But Saturday, not great if you're not a fan of rain, but the temperature tomorrow is going to be a high near 70. Again, so we'll take that. Saturday night, showers, possibility of a thunderstorm, low around 57. Then Sunday, again, showers, decent chance over 50%, and possibly a thunderstorm, cloudy, high near 71. Early next week, again, more rain, so not the best forecast as far as the weather goes, but temperatures in the upper 60s and 70s. Stay tuned to WGCLradio.com for all your weather all the time.
This is a little bit disturbing and not a story we would usually cover here on the show, but this ties in to what Public Information Sergeant Kurt Durnell will talk about in just a few moments. Police have arrested a 14-year-old Bloomington girl on a prostitution charge. This came out of the Herald Times on Wednesday this week after an investigation showed she offered on Facebook to meet men and have sex in exchange for cash. Bloomington Police Department Captain Steve Kellums said an investigation began in January after a woman said she found text messages on her husband's phone from the girl that were sexual in nature. The wife called police, and BPD Detective Sarah Carnes obtained search warrants for the girl's Facebook page and cell phone records. Ended up that she was indicating on social media she was 17 and had offered sex for money, but again, she's 14 years old. Kellum said that the girl's guardian reported a history of family problems and having, quote, a difficult time controlling her. She faces a charge of prostitution, a misdemeanor, and has been referred to juvenile authorities as the investigation continues.
Jim, Restaurant Row is big in the news, and if you've been downtown, most people around here have a Grant Street, 4th Street, but Bloomington City Council members have expressed support for historic designation in general, but were hesitant to approve the specific boundaries of one of two proposed historic districts. A single city council member, Chris Durban, on Wednesday night voiced support for the Greater Restaurant Row Historic District, with six other members choosing to hold off on stating their position, citing concerns about the district, including some buildings that are not strictly similar in design to the core of Restaurant Row on East 4th Street. The proposed district contains 23 buildings, one of which is classified as outstanding, another of which is notable, five of which are contributing, and 16 of which are non-contributing. Along 4th Street between Lincoln and Dunn, along Kirkwood Avenue on both sides of Grant and on the south side of Dunn. So I think most people know some of those restaurants that are down there, and again, cool stuff. But Bethany Emmenheiser, the city's historical preservation manager, said the Bloomington Historical Preservation Commission initiated the process of creating the district after an update to the Indiana State Historical Architecture and Archaeological Research Database that resulted in the removal of the properties from the historic survey due to heavy modifications and alterations that undermine their historical and architectural integrity. This sounds like an article for Derek to come in and check out.
I'm reaching out to him to see if he's got some insight on this.
A good friend of the show is very, very huge into the change over time and taking pictures in several books.
Plus, I'm just not sure. Everything can be historical at some point. The value of saving it long-term, that's not my forte. I don't know how to answer that.
You're 40 now, see? Stuff like that.
Shut up, Mr. Pillar.
The council will consider the historic designations for formal approval during its March 23rd meeting following a one-week hiatus for the Indiana University spring break. So, again, we'll follow this one. But, again, Derek Ritchie will be a much better resource for us on this next time he's able to come into the show. And maybe the History Club guys as well probably have some impact on this one, just how it kind of fits into Bloomington's overall culture.
We have a potential Darwin Award winner in Bloomington.
Ooh.
Yes, Bloomington Fire Department responded to a fire alarm at Kilroy's Barn Grill on East Kirkwood last Friday about 9 p.m. Building was evacuated. No hazard was found. Everybody was allowed to re-enter the facility.
Except,
so far, so good.
Except. Y'all, watch this.
Yes, in the rush to get back, again from the Herald Times, some patrons jumped or climbed over the fencing surrounding the outdoor seating at the business. One of them got tangled up. This is where you start cringing and shaking a little bit in your seat. Firefighters were still on the scene and were called to help a man whose leg was stuck on a 5-foot aluminum picket fence outside the business. Officials found the man's upper body being supported by bystanders while his left leg was impaled on the fence near his ankle. There was no exit wound, and the skin on that side was raised up about an inch in the shape of a point. They were able to take care of the situation there. They removed a section of the fence. He was taken to a nearby hospital. Yeah, dude, just walk through the front door because that's what the front door's for.
Well, yeah, it was the if I'm not mistaken, it was the night of the big UFC thing with Conor McGregor's fight and Holly Holm's fight and that stuff. And so they cleared it because you have to. But then in an effort to get back in for everyone to claim their seat to watch fights, that happened. And so this begs the question, Jim. Are you ready?
Yes, fire away.
Do better stories like this, and again, we're not making fun of the injury because I'm sure it hurts, but the rationale of how it happened, you kind of wonder. Do stories go better when it starts with, hey, y'all watch this, or here, hold my beer?
Either one, you know that
it usually leads to something that will end up on some sort of website.
And on that note, hey y'all, hold our beer because we're going to take a break.
We're not drinking in the studio. That's against WGCL policy, I think. But ice water for us.
Yes, and Kurt Dern will be up in just a couple minutes. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here with you, along with repeat guest. Glad to have back in the studio, Public Information Sergeant with the Indiana State Police, Kurt Dernal. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, Jim. How are you, man?
I'm good. Nice to have you back, and appreciate you working your schedule a little bit this week and getting me on the books.
Nice to be back, and always a pleasure to come to GCL. I spent some time here before you took over the microphone for other.
Oh, really?
DJs, yes, that have graced this building. So it's good to be with Jim Inman, an old Edgewood guy just like me. And so thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We exchanged a couple emails and talked about some different things that we want to discuss on the show. And one of the things I think is key right now is the new Indiana State Police program that talks about internet predators, kids getting online and things like that. And I know you've been on the program before. Kent Rolfing has been on in the past and talked about the drug component of things. But can you give our listeners a little bit of an overview about this new program for kids, for parents? I mean, even if it extends into education as well.
Yeah, definitely. And it's a program that we're really proud of, and it's leading the nation in awareness for internet safety. Jim, you'd really be surprised, as I was several times in talking to kids about internet and internet safety.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to them about sending images and compromising pictures, that type of thing, and I get this stare from them like is this bad? Is this right. Something that could come back and hurt me in the future? You know,
well, our friend Kim Kardashian just did it and got millions of loves, tweets, and everything.
And
that's what kids see today. Unfortunately,
is right. And clearly, that's a misconception. You know, by our kids seeing a celebrity do that. Me and you as adults know that celebrities can get away with anything. And clearly that person has, which is unfortunate for us as people who are trying to lead kids down a different path. But apparently what's going on, and I wasn't aware of this really until this past couple years, kids will pass these images to each other just like me and you would have written notes and passed them to the back of the class during, in the classroom. So, mm-hmm. I mean, this is a very common thing. It's something that I don't think a lot of parents are aware of. I don't think that the kids understand exactly, what are the consequences of this? What can happen if I do this? You know, I do an internet safety program myself. This was before the Internet Safety for Children came on board through the Indiana State Police, the service, and we'll talk about that in just a second. I want to get that information out there. But, I would do this internet safety course, and of course, there was different presentations for different ages. And, you know, I'll never forget it. I had a sixth grade girl come up to me after the program and ask me, hey, you know, I understand what you're saying here, but isn't it okay if I just take the shot from here to here? And clearly, you know, we're on the radio, but I think mm-hmm. you get the idea here as to where. And, you know, I sat down with her and I said, listen, you know, this is something that you really need to talk to your parents about. This is something that I think you would regret. And this is something that, and I explained slippery slope mm-hmm. concept to her. Once you travel down that path, it just keeps getting easier and easier and easier. Sooner or later, it's really going to come back and not treat you very well in the future. So that's what we're after. We're just wanting to keep kids safe, Jim, with this type of program. And it's really, you'd be surprised how much is taken off in the area already.
So that's what I was getting ready to go into. So where are you doing this program? Are you doing it in the schools? Are you connecting with parents groups in some way? I mean, how is this being communicated to the general public?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be in the schools, but it's in any type of format or forum that you want it to be. So if you have a community group, a church group, whoever it is, your group at the YMCA, the Cub Scouts in the area, mm-hmm. whoever needs to hear this, that's who these folks will come and talk to. And this is what they do 24/7, 7 days a week. They adjust their schedule to make sure that they are able to get to you. We have three statewide. So basically, we've just divvied up Indiana into North, Central, and South. Mm-hmm. And I'll be able to share that email address with you. I've also put it on our social media page for the Bloomington District, which I would encourage anybody to
And we'll put all of this on our Facebook page and the WGCL page after we get done here, so it'll be available to everybody.
Outstanding. And, you know, it's one of those things, Jim, that, you know, for Indiana to do this, this is one of the first nationwide to try and reduce online victimization of, mm-hmm. of youth in the state of Indiana. So it's one thing that the state police has taken very seriously. It's something that we hope the word gets out, and it's a free service. It's a freebie. I mean, just ask, and these folks will set it up by your schedule.
I'm going to tie in something because I'm curious if this exists, and it comes up in the news periodically about child slavery and child prostitution and that kind of thing.
Yep.
Are there elements of that? And again, without getting into the details, are we seeing that in the state of Indiana?
Absolutely.
Really?
Child sexual solicitation is more than prevalent in Indiana, and it's unfortunate. And this is way before Jared and the subway mm-hmm. saga that we saw. What was it, 6 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
This is going on, and the unfortunate reason is because kids don't understand. They've not been made aware as to how dangerous this thing is. That, you know, they get online, Jim, and if they're not being treated right at school, if they're having problems at school, nobody's talking to them. First thing you know, they're getting online and somebody's telling them how beautiful they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the flattery comes out. The, hey, I understand what you're going through. I can't believe people would, you know, all these red flags would be going up for adults or should be going up for adults. And these kids are hearing this and they're just being lured into whatever that person has in store for them. And again, you're on the other side of a computer. You don't know exactly. You think you're talking to another 11-year-old boy.
Right.
You have no idea who you're talking to
on
the other side. And then, of course, that leads to meeting somewhere offline in, you know, somewhere
Gosh.
Where, yeah, it's just a scary situation. So this program addresses that child sexual solicitation, child extortion, child pornography. Cyberbullying is another key element of this. So, you know, there's all kinds of different topics they can get into, but the youth educator will work with your group to make sure that presentation is geared towards what you need to get the word out for. So it's pretty simple.
Okay. We're talking with Kurt Durnell, the Public Information Sergeant with the Indiana State Police. Let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about Highway 69 and
yes.
All the fun that we're experiencing on Highway 37 and whatnot. How are you guys handling the traffic situation, if you will?
Yeah, you know, it's exciting. It's, you know, I've been on the department since 1994, Jim, and until December 9th, I had not worked a district that had a prevalent interstate. And I say that, they sent me to Connersville straight out of the academy, and I worked the South Zone. Well, there's no interstate in the South Zone of the Connersville district. I transferred to Morgan County.
Right.
I-70 runs just a little bit through the northwest tip of it, but not anything prevalent. And
mm-hmm.
then, of course, I moved to Bloomington. There was no interstate at all. So starting last December is when I actually started working in a district with an interstate. And it's different. It's a different type of atmosphere. It's a different style of patrolling. Right now, of course, we're seeing more vehicle traffic on it than we did, say, before they opened up the new section from Crane to Bloomington. For now, there's no businesses, basically, on there. So, you know, I tell my family, hey, if you got to go before we get in the car,
thank you. Yes.
It's from here basically to Evansville before we have somewhere to stop. And
mm-hmm.
that's not necessarily true. There's some, you know, exits there by Washington and all that kind of stuff, and you can get off to Jasper.
David Hayes was going south on 37 mm-hmm. and missed the turn, and actually mm-hmm. instead of going on 37, he got on I-69. And it's
yeah.
like a 15 miles before you can make a U-turn or something like that.
And you bring up a good point, too, because when you're headed south from Bloomington, if you stay in the lane, you will be on I-69. It's kind of confusing because you have to actually go to the right and act like you are exiting 37 to stay on 37. Mm-hmm. And it goes around to the right, comes back by Victor Pike, and you head on to Bedford. So it is confusing. You know, pay attention to the signs. And he's right. It's a while before authorized vehicles.
I love the air quotes by Kurt Durnell. Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's a great road. You know, obviously those folks that work at Crane are in Seventh mm-hmm. Heaven now. Those folks who are living on State Road 45, Jim, have noticed a drastic reduction in big semi traffic. You know, and that road is not taking the beating that it once was. Mm-hmm. And we all know State Road 45 can be dangerous on a great day, on a sunny day. So, let alone, you know, when the weather turns bad. But, you know, we're out there. We're finding the aggressive drivers. We've already found quite a few drugs in the area.
Really?
Off of I-69. Yeah, our guys are, we call it the ACES, State Police ACES, Aggressive Criminal Enforcement Section, and they have absolutely been busy as they can be. Mm-hmm. They've been out there, and they've been, you know, our canine unit has been out there with them, Loki and Drogos. And I know you're a big dog guy.
I am.
You love dogs. And we've got two of them here at the Bloomington District, and they're having a great time and getting the drugs and putting the bad guys behind bars.
Excellent. We're going to take a break with Kurt. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of the things in the news lately about drugs, which we touched on a little bit here. Some things also that people can do for home protection during spring break time, and drones and law enforcement. We'll touch on that as well. So stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman along with Kurt Durnell, the Public Information Sergeant with the Indiana State Police. And it seems like, Kurt, over the last several weeks, months, kind of hearing a little bit more about heroin in the communities. I know that, I think it's Scott County, they've had that HIV outbreak and things like that. And Monroe County's in this needle-sharing program and everything. So tell a little bit about what ISP and where we're at with all of that.
It's definitely prevalent, Jim, and excuse my phone there going off. Somebody's trying to get a hold of me.
You're a police officer. That takes more priority than it. You go right ahead if you need to. We'll take another break.
No problem there. But the drug problem is prevalent. I mean, there's just no question about it. You spoke to Trooper Rolfing mm-hmm. In here. I can't remember how long
last
ago.
Last summer.
It's been. Okay. Mm-hmm. Those guys stay busy. I've never known those guys to be sitting around the post and saying, man, I wish somebody would call with a tip. I mean, those guys stay busy continuously. And we get tips on our social media pages that I pass along. We're always encouraging folks, you know, if you have any type of suspicious behavior going on in your area that you think just needs to be checked out, give us a call. Mm-hmm. Give us a call. I'll get it to the guys that I trust. And those guys will take care of it from there. And, you know, all tips can remain anonymous. That's part of the deal. You know, you don't have to worry about, well, I don't want to, you know, get in trouble. I don't want mm-hmm. anybody to know that I was the one. You know, that's not going to be the case. But yeah, we definitely have enough to keep those guys busy, and they do stay busy. It seems like at least 5 or 6 days of the week. They barely get a day off, Jim.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's something. So.
Okay. Let's switch gears again.
Yeah.
Spring break's coming up. A lot of people are heading out of town.
Yeah.
And you have been kind enough to come out, actually out to my neighborhood. We had an incident a couple of years back, and you came out and talked to myself and several neighbors about just general awareness, home safety, if you will, especially when people leave. So as people are headed out for spring break, what would you suggest?
Which, if I could add, that was really a nice idea that you had, and you got to hand it to your neighbors too. They were interested.
Yeah,
you had people show up not just because you had food there that night.
This is true,
but because they were genuinely concerned about their area.
Yeah,
and I found that really was nice.
To get in the weeds a little bit, when I first moved in there 10, 11 years ago, nobody really knew each other, and we had an incident where several homes were broken into. And, you know, fortunately that kind of started the discussion in a private little Facebook group and everything. And then we had another incident a couple years ago, and fortunately nothing that major, but it was nice for you to come out and say, hey, did you think about this? Because you don't always think about the simple stuff. So.
Yeah, you don't. And you brought up a good point about knowing each other. You know, a lot of times, and it's unfortunate, we don't know who our neighbors are. And that's sad because, you know, we've come into a time period where we don't have time to say hello to our neighbors or know, you know, what they're going through in their life or anything like that. But it's always a good idea to at least know your next door neighbor or somebody who's close, you know, somebody who you can trust to say, hey, I'm going to be going out of town, you know, this type of thing. Now, if you have somebody that can help you with that, here's my suggestion to you. First of all, you don't want to advertise that you're going out of town. I know it's exciting. I know you're excited to get to Florida or Disney or wherever it is you're headed to, but please keep it off Facebook. Please don't tell everybody you know at school. Don't let the word out. You know, if somebody asks you, hey, what are you doing for vacation? You know, I'm going to tell you right now, it's okay to lie to them. I'm telling you right now, Jim, it's okay. You don't have to say.
The nice man in blue said it's
exactly. It's okay because what happens is you know, if Jim Inman asked me at lunch today, hey, where are you guys going, you know, for, and then I can trust Jim because I know Jim's not going to break into my house. I can say, you know, we're going here, we're going there, blah, 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 blah. But who is it that Jim might mention it to later, not even thinking. And then if you mention it to somebody who you think you trust, but somebody's also in the room who's listening, and then somebody who told them, you know what I'm saying? This it's like a big circuit, a network of people who now know that I'm going out of town for whatever reason, and I won't be there. Same thing, even faster if you put it on social media. And I've seen it. It's almost embarrassing because some of our own police officers do that, Jim, and we've had to work burglaries at our own police officers' homes because of not them putting it on there, but maybe their kids.
Spouse or kids.
Yeah, putting it on there. Hey, we're excited, we're going here. Or they're posting pictures, you know, from the magic teacups, you know, wherever it is. Well, if I'm a home invader, you've just told me that I have every bit of 24 hours to get to your home, and you will have no idea, and you're not going to be even close. So I think that's big. I think if you have the help and you can, you know, if you have parents who live in the area or good friends, and, you know, you can leave them a key, ask them to go over and move cars around in your driveway a little bit, just to give the perception that somebody is there. Leave a light on that is usually on while you're there. Put timers up, whatever it takes. Obviously, you know, if you have the animals, you need to care for them and maybe even have somebody come over and move them around a little bit during the day, let them get out, so on and so forth. So just some tips, you know, we just don't want anybody coming home to a disaster.
The one thing I remember, because it was winter time, that you mentioned was if somebody goes to your house to get your mail or whatever, have them drive in your driveway to make a track in the snow. Because if you've got even an inch of snow and nobody drives on it for a couple days,
you can tell.
Pretty clear nobody's been in or out.
You can tell. Yeah, you're exactly right. It's pretty clear. And remember, all this is about perception.
Yep.
You know, and I think, you know, I would encourage folks if they don't have an alarm system to put one in, even if it's the most basic alarm that you can. You know, another thing a home invader looks for is this home alarmed? Is there somebody that's going to know if I break a window or if I bust down the front door? So I think these are just, you know, some tips just to, you know, delay something or keep somebody from having an idea about it. You know, I think. Home invaders are not good people, but they're not stupid either. They know. They know when you're going to be around and when you're not, especially if you're telling them.
One other quick thing. Wednesday, the USA Today had an article about the federal government using drones, and they emphatically put there legally across the United States. State police, has there been any discussion of utilizing drones in some way for law enforcement?
Drones are always in the discussion. Right now, the Indiana State Police does not use drones of any nature. Now, you got to remember something about drones. You know, it doesn't matter, and we spoke a little bit about this off the air, but if I come to your house you know, whether I'm a police officer or not, if I'm invading your privacy, that's still a violation of your rights as an American citizen.
Okay.
That's still covered by the Constitution. Search by a law enforcement officer under the Fourth Amendment is still covered whether I'm at your house, whether I'm in a helicopter above your house, or whether I'm controlling a drone above your house and looking in. You are still protected by that. So You know, really for us right now, a drone hasn't even come up into the conversation, really, because for us it would be more of an emergency type of thing, to where circumstances would dictate, hey, we've got to know what's going on in this house. It is too dangerous for us to approach. We know that somebody is in there, maybe somebody's holding a hostage, that type of thing. But as far as being issued a drone right now, the Indiana State Police has not made that purchase or made that investment. You're
talking about somebody dangerous in a home makes me also wonder if they would be effective if there's a potential bomb in a building of some kind. But again, you've got to have the skill set, I guess, to, it's not like using an Atari 2600 joystick, I would imagine. You've got to have the skill set to get around doors and
yes.
hallways and things.
Yes.
And a drone can be great, but if a door is closed, you can only go so far.
And we do have robots. We do have those EOD robots, explosive ordnance device robots, that can make entry into a home. Mm-hmm. They can do the videotaping. And again, this is for explosive devices. This is for hostage crisis negotiations, that type of thing, where circumstances dictate, hey, we've got to get in this house because somebody's life is in danger.
Sure.
That's where that comes into play. You know, to make the argument that a flyover with a drone would affect somebody's, you know, life or help somebody that's in danger, I don't know. You know, you'd have to convince a judge of that, you know, first. And that's where we are with that. And drones aren't cheap, Jim.
No.
They're
I would
not
imagine
cheap.
The kind that you get at the big box store are not really the kind
right.
that the state police would
right.
be able to utilize
yeah,
very well.
Yeah. So, I mean, we had those remote control airplanes, you know, back in the day, or those little rubber band things that we used to wind up, you know. I don't know
yes,
that those would do the job.
I do remember those. Yep. That probably would not carry a camcorder from 1987.
Probably not.
Yeah. You going to do anything for a Big Ten tournament? I know you do security with IU Athletics. Are you going to go up north? Or?
You know, I'm still waiting on that phone call, Jim. I wait on the
was
phone
was that
call.
The one that called about 10 minutes
no,
ago?
Not yet. We're still waiting.
Okay.
You know, so we're keeping all lines open. So I hope to get up there. And man, what an exciting team
yes.
this is this
yes.
year. It's so great to have both coaches, Big Ten Coach of the Year.
Right.
So that's fantastic. Fantastic. Lots of good stuff coming out
good,
of Assembly
good, good.
Hall this year.
And we mentioned off the air, but real quick, your son Sam has been on the program talking about the
yes.
cycles thing, and both he and his brother now are going to be participating this year, right?
Yes. Him and Joe will be on the Disciples team this year, and they are looking forward to it. Just dad's checkbook, just meaning mine. My checkbook just took the hit
yep.
yesterday to equip Joe. And, of course, you know, it's funny, when you start that tradition, if you will, you know, you can't, when the next kid comes up and says, hey, I'd like to do that, you know, you can't say, hey, you're on your own.
Right.
You know, we took care of Sam. Now we're going to take care of Joe. It's a great, great program. You know, if you're not familiar with Disciples, DECYCLES, Google it, Disciples Bloomington. I think it's a great thing for anybody that's interested, adults or children.
Awesome, awesome. Kurt Durnell, Public Information Sergeant, Indiana State Police. Always a pleasure, brother. Really appreciate everything.
Thanks for having
me,
Jim.
And anytime you want to come back, let me know. We'll work you in, I promise.
I really do appreciate that. And I promise I will be coming back, especially if you have food.
On that note, we got to go get to the bake shop, I guess. We'll be back in a couple minutes here on the Bloomington Review. All right, thanks again to Kurt Durnell. We'll put all of his information up at facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. Time to talk sports, and I know Kurt was actually up at the game in Indianapolis today. And
yeah, the game in Indianapolis today did not go well. We hate to ruin it for you if you've DVR'd it, but we've already ruined it based on how we're talking.
Right.
But Michigan 72, the Hoosiers 69. Cameron Chatman, not a name that many Hoosier fans know, but they do now. Scored 5 points in the game today, Jim. It just so happened that three of those points came with 0.2 seconds left as he hit a three-pointer from the corner the Wolverines knocked out the Hoosiers from the Big Ten tournament. So, unfortunately, the men's and the women's teams exit in the first game. I don't think either, obviously, was planning that, but that is what happened. Jim, you know, the Hoosiers just lots of turnovers again today. Same old story, 15 turnovers today, as a matter of fact. Did not shoot well in the second half, 4 for 17 from the three-point line in general, 81% from the free throw line, not bad. But, you know, Robert Johnson dressed. He went through pregame warm-ups, but he did not play today. So that certainly hurts, and it's obvious that he's a pretty big deal.
There was a name that I heard quite often in the game today, OG.
Yeah, OG Anunoby gave the Hoosiers 27 minutes, actually, you know, fourth best minute total on the team, 13 points, two boards, two steals, two assists, three blocks. He was just all over the place, really did an outstanding job. Mm-hmm. Defense, tough to measure on those box score stats, but he really had an outstanding game for the Hoosiers today. You know, Troy Williams had 16. Yogi Ferrell had 14. Thomas Bryant, 13. Anunoby, again, as you mentioned, again, 13 points. Max Bielfeld off the bench for 7. Zeislav had 6, a three-point play and then a three-pointer. And that was it for the scoring. So the Hoosiers got nothing out of Colin Hartman in the points column for 20 minutes. Nothing out of Ryan Burton, 5 minutes. Nothing out of Juwan Morgan or Harrison Niego. Same thing. So not a great game, I guess, just no other way to put it today for the Hoosiers. Cold, ice cold shooting in the second half.
But on the really on did a higher in. Note, we are
but,
full out
that's right.
Big Ten champions.
Yeah, you know what? You're the Big Ten regular season champions. Tom Crean is the Big Ten Coach of the Year. Yogi Ferrell was first team Big Ten. Troy Williams and Thomas Bryant, third team Big Ten. Max Bielfeldt, sixth man of the year for the conference. Thomas Bryant, first team freshman all-conference.
Men's and women's basketball undefeated at Assembly Hall
only
this season.
Only team in the country to do that.
Yep.
And the other thing that's really, really impressive, Jim, is the Hoosier men won the Big Ten Conference by 2 games. I mean, 2.5, really, if you think about it, because they beat Maryland and there was no tiebreak and they swept Iowa. So it was really just an impressive season for them. And you hated that the tournament ended so quickly. I'm sure the bars hate it. I'm sure a lot of the restaurants hate it. I'm sure the ticket scalpers hated it. But, you know, overall, really an outstanding regular season. To lose James Blackman, who's a great scorer on offense, you can argue about his defense all day long. To lose Robert Johnson here at the end of the season, to have Juwan Morgan hurt some of that time, really, really a fantastic year for the Hoosier men's basketball team. So now, just like the rest of us, the Hoosiers will hang out and wait until Sunday at 7 o'clock when the selection show starts revealing brackets. The WGCL coverage of the Sunday selection show will start here. 5:30 Glass will be on for some of that, if I'm not mistaken. But Selection Sunday coverage here starts at 5:30. Then they will start revealing the brackets at 7 o'clock. But I'll tell you, we talk about it every year. You think football and Colts coverage is outstanding on WGCL. You think the coverage for Dave Duff's Cincinnati Reds is amazing on WGCL radio. It will be nonstop NCAA college basketball for the next couple weeks here on WGCL. So tipping off. Tuesday night coming up, we'll have the first 4 play-in games that will be from Dayton, Ohio. Wednesday night, same thing, 6:30, a couple more first 4 games. And then basically starting about noon, Thursday and Friday, Saturday and Sunday, all day long, NCAA tournament action right here on WGCL Radio, all leading up to the Final Four in Houston, Texas, on Saturday, April 2nd. And culminating Monday, April 4th, 6:30, pregame for the NCAA Road to the Final Four. So really great stuff here on WGCL Radio as far as that goes. So much other news, Jim. IU women's basketball, like we mentioned, they were knocked out by Northwestern. They sit and wait. They're in. We don't know where. Lower, I would think,
right,
than what they certainly hope, but I can't imagine them not being in. Right now, IU baseball, right now, they're out on the field. So maybe you're out watching the game, listening to us. Hope you are. Maybe not. But anyway, they're at home today and tomorrow, so they have a game on Saturday as well, Western Carolina. Check them out, of course, over there. Just a beautiful facility.
Yep.
Go and see if you haven't. Some guy, Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, yeah, he retired. Yeah, we've heard that, but everyone else has talked that quite a bit. But what an amazing person, what an amazing career, mm-hmm. what an amazing a set of accomplishments he had.
Yep.
But Peyton is retiring, and that's over. The Broncos got Mark Sanchez today from the
I saw that they
from the Jets, and we'll
see
how that goes for them. And then also here, late breaking, of course, you've probably already seen this, but Purdue just destroyed the Illini. So Purdue moves on with a 31-point victory over Illinois.
Woo!
So they will be playing tomorrow Michigan State and Ohio State later on tonight, and then Nebraska and Maryland later on tonight. And then one more other, I think, kind of cool news piece from sports. Lovie Smith, former coach of the Chicago Bears, right, and coach Rex Grossman to the Super Bowl when they were defeated by the Colts. And Lovie Smith has been the head coach of the Tampa Bay Bucks for the last 2 years before he kind of got done dirty and got fired down there. After kind of babysitting Jameis Winston and helping him out, Lovie, new coach of the Illini football team. All of my in-laws are Illini people, so they love this, and I love it too. I think it's great for the Big Ten football scene. I think it's great for Illinois. Lovie Smith's been a winner in some places, and I think he'll bring a great attitude to the Illini football team. So much happening in sports, Jim. We're out of time.
We are, but we are coming back with a little bit from Julie Warren about some fun stuff this weekend and more. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Just a couple minutes left in the program. Thanks again to Kurt Durnell, the Public Information Sergeant with the Indiana State Police Post. All of that information will be at facebook.com/thebloomingtonreview, and we'll also put it up on our podcast website, wgclradio.com, as well. So if you are looking for information, if you've got a group that you think could benefit from the conversation, especially on child predators and internet usage, we will have all of that information on our website and our Facebook page. Forecast for the weekend,
Jim,
Dr. Pillar.
It's wet, but it's warm, so it'll be all right. Tonight, 40% chance of rain after 1 a.m., increasing clouds, low around 48. Saturday, 50% chance of showers, cloudy, high near 70. Saturday night, showers again, possible thunderstorm, low around 57. And then Sunday, a chance of showers up to 70% with a possible thunderstorm, but a high near 71. Early next week, rain almost every day, but temperatures also in the 60s and 70s. So we'll take that if we have to. But all your weather all the time, WGCLradio.com. And, Jim, you said a second ago that Julie Warren, we'd have things with Julie Warren. My
yes.
mom is going to be so mad because Julie Warren is actually not here with us. So my mom is probably changing the station. As soon as she hears this, she is now going to change it. So,
well, Julie will
sorry
be on
in
advance, 2 weeks.
Mom.
She has got some things, and then she'll be on the week after next. Next week we're going to do new news, but recap of our interview with Amy Swain and Dan and Tina Peterson from last week about Lemonade Day. So,
oh, yeah, they're great. Oh,
and
Dan
I think
and
we're going to be
awesome.
Off again this coming next Friday because
basketball.
Of the basketball.
Yeah,
so.
We'll have to check and see if yes. we're preempted. But anyway, big weekend of stuff here in Bloomington. Spring break is just wonderful. And those of you that have been around Bloomington for a while know how wonderful spring break is and the mm-hmm. holiday breaks are and summer is. It's really one of the best places to be. But the Art of Maurice Sendak, you might remember that name for Where the Wild Things Are. 50th anniversary of that children's classic, 50 original works of art all over the Monroe County Public Library. That's Friday night from 3 to 6, so you've already missed that. Why am I saying that? But Saturday and Sunday, 12 to 6, you can check that out. Sounds good. John Roy will be at the Comedy Attic. He is previous winner of Star Search. And then IU softball. We love Coach Gardner here on the Bloomington Review. IU softball Saturday, 2:30 and 4:45. Sunday, 12:15 and 1. Lots of great stuff happening.
And you are on spring break break next week, Doctor.
MCCSC is on spring break. I'm going to sit on my couch
Good
and love
for
every
you.
Second of it.
Hopefully everybody has a safe spring break. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.